being a, we call, they call them rural deans in those days, and now they're called area deans because they're not all in the country anymore. And I was the rural dean, and two church wardens came to see me. And, of course, what had happened, as so often happens in a parish, there'd been a much-loved older vicar who'd left, and his wife, who did lots in the parish as well. And they'd got a young bachelor who'd come to be the vicar. A fairly inexperienced bachelor as well of looking at, it was his first parish, I think. And of course, they were upset. And they listed to me a long list of all the things he didn't do or didn't do like the previous vicar did and so on and so forth. And I listened for a while and then I said, wait a minute. Now, you've told me all the things that he's not very good at. What are the things he's good at? Well, he's all right doing this and he's all right doing that. I said, well, surely what you need to do is to celebrate what he is doing well. To encourage him. To say, that was great what you did then. Or that was good what you did then. To actually build him up. Not to seek always to knock him down. Because in a true body of Christ, we build one another up. We encourage one another. We find something good to say, even if it's been a bit of a disaster. But there must be something good somewhere. If you look and find it, you'll see, you can say, well, that was good, even if it didn't work out. That was a great idea, although perhaps it was before its time. And so on and so forth. But to build one another up. I don't know what the church wardens thought I was going to do, but what I said was, go back, pray for him. Make sure you pray for him, because without that, he won't be undergirded with your prayers. And congratulate him. Look for the things that are good and bring them out and show them to him. When I got depressed at the parish I was in, and I did occasionally get depressed, and particularly sometimes the PCC. Yours is perfect, no doubt, but my PCC wasn't quite perfect, I must say. And occasionally, well, it was hard work. And when I'd really had a bad time with them, the thing I used to do, which I would love to do just at the end here, just as a sort of reminder as the institution draws near, is to read John Betjeman's poem from Church Poems. Do any of you know it? Anybody? Right. John Betjeman was the son of a vicar near round here. I believe he was at Wantage, but I'm not quite sure. Oh, thank you, Mary. And anyway, he wrote a wonderful poem called Blame the Vicar. Remember, he's a vicarage child, so he knows what it's about. And I will read it for you and leave it there. What he wrote was, Blame the Vicar, it's called. When things go wrong, it's rather tame to find we are ourselves to blame. It gets the trouble over quicker to go and blame things on the vicar. The vicar, after all, is paid to keep us bright and undismayed. The vicar is more virtuous, too, than lay folks such as me and you. He never swears, he never drinks, he never should say what he thinks. His collar is the wrong way round, and that's why he is simply bound to be the sort of person who has nothing very much to do but take the blame for what goes wrong and sing in tune at evensong. For what's a vicar really for, except to cheer us up? What's more, he shouldn't ever, ever tell if there is such a place as hell. For if there is, it's certain he will go to it as well as we. The vicar should be all pretense and never, never give offence. To preach on Sunday is his task. Oh, and to lend his mower when we ask. And organise our village fetes. And sing at Christmas with the waits. And in his car to give us lifts. And when we quarrel, heal the rifts. To keep his family alive, he should industriously strive in that enormous house he gets, and he should always pay his debts, for he has quite £6 a week, and when we're rude, he should be meek, and always turn the other cheek. He should be neat and nicely dressed, with polished shoes and trousers pressed. For we look up to him as higher than anyone, oh, except the squire. Dear people who have read so far, I know how really kind you are. I hope that you are always seeing your vicar as a human being, making allowances when he does things with which you don't agree. But there are lots of people who are not so kind to him as you. So in conclusion, you shall hear about a parish somewhere near, perhaps your own, or maybe not, and of the vicars that it got. One parson came and people said, "Alas, our former vicar's dead, and this new man is far more low than dear old Reverend so-and-so, and far too earnest in his preaching. We do not really like his teaching. He seems to think we're simply fools who've never been to Sunday schools." That vicar left, and by, a new one came. "He's much too high," the people said, "too like a saint. His incense makes our Mavis faint." So now he's left, and they're alone, without a vicar of their own. The living's been amalgamated with the one next door they've always hated. Well, thank you. So I hope it wasn't written about Ducklington. I'm sure it wasn't, but don't forget, as you welcome your new rector, remember, as it says in the poem, he too is a human being. He is somebody who will have his gifts and sometimes lack of gifts. He's someone who will be giving what he can. So build him up, pray for him, and together you are the body of Christ that makes an incredible difference to this village of Ducklington, and as it spreads out from Ducklington wider, you will be taking Christ to those who have not yet met him.